We praise his name this morning because he is worthy of all of our praise. Here we are in Advent season, and Advent, if you were with us last week, you know that Advent is the coming of God. But it's not just the coming of God, that the story that we share at Christmas, it's the reminder that God has come and he is coming again. So right away here this morning, we can declare that God is on the move. But let's not get confused this morning. God doesn't just move from place to place like you or I would. God doesn't need to jump into a Ford Focus. Sorry, Bob, I looked at you. That's what you drive. God doesn't need to jump in and travel from place to place. God is present. He is always present. And last Sunday, as we began to look at the Gospel of John, right at the very beginning, we heard the good news that in the beginning, God, right before any creation, before anything else happened, in the beginning, God. This is good news. It wasn't in the beginning, God was there, but from the very beginning, God. And John quickly introduced us to the beginning. He introduced us to Jesus, one who was there in the very beginning. He was with God, and he was God. In him, in Jesus, is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. So good, so important for us. In Jesus is life, and that life is the light of all mankind. I was thinking this week about how I often struggle in finding ways to help other people. Right? When I see someone in need, my reaction, my desire is that I want to help that person. Right? Especially when I see someone's life kind of crumbling around them, I want to reach out and do something to help them. So my struggle in this is always, what can I do? Maybe you're the same way. You've got friends or family. You've got connections. You see someone and their life is just kind of falling apart. It's being ripped apart at the seams. And you're just like me. You're like, what can I do? What could I say that would make a difference in the middle of that? You ever been there? So how can we help others in a healthy way? I think Scripture, I think God's Word has so much for us. John starts his gospel in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Jesus, the Word, was with God and was God. So listen, if I'm truly going to help someone, I need to know the beginning. Right? The temptation is to see a situation and want to help, but to remove it from the reality that in the beginning, way before this situation ever started, in the beginning, God. You see, he is life, and without him there is no creation, no life. So you want to help someone with life, I think we need to go to the beginning. Right, the beginning came before whatever that person is facing. In the beginning was God. He is first. If he is first, then where is he in their life? Where is God in the middle of that situation? That struggle that is so challenging and so beyond us, where is God in the midst of that? If he was in the beginning, before anything else, where is God in the middle of that? John tells us at the beginning, we heard last week, that darkness cannot overcome the light. No situation, no struggle or sin is beyond God. So let's all begin at the beginning. In the beginning, in him, we'll discover everything that we need. Do you believe that this morning? In the beginning, in him, we'll discover everything we need. You know how I know that's true? You know how I know that's true? Because in the beginning, there was nothing else. There was only God. So in him, in the beginning, in him, before anything else, in him, I can find everything that I need. In the beginning is God, and in him is life, power to create. If he can create everything, you think perhaps, if he can create everything, do you think perhaps he could help you in a struggle you might have? Do you think maybe the creator of everything we see could help to bring about some restoration, a little bit of hope for someone that is faltering and struggling. I had this thought this week about this church. Imagine if this church building was like a lighthouse. I don't know if you've noticed, though, we've got a steeple out here. Kind of shoots up into the sky. Imagine if that steeple had a giant light in it that was just rotating and it was shining its light all across Marshalltown. Do you think maybe people would be able to see that light? Now, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I wonder how much that would cost to put a giant light up there to shine that thing all around Marshalltown, right? Guess what? God wants this church to be a lighthouse. How cool is that? A lighthouse here in Iowa in the winter where there is no body of water, there are no ships. But you have to understand, a lighthouse is a guide. Right? If you're ever lost out at sea, if you're out on the water and you become lost or the fog begins to overwhelm you, a lighthouse is there to guide you back home safely. Right? I know we don't have water all around us in Marshalltown, but we do have people who are lost. We do have people who are walking in a bit of fog, a darkness, as John would call it. And we have a church, a people, a body of Christ who have encountered the very life light that is God. So what would happen if his light would shine out from his church right here in Marshalltown? John, the writer, introduces us to the life light, the one who was there in the beginning. Again, he could have written anything he wanted to. It was his gospel account, but he chose to start at the beginning. This is what he writes next. We'll be in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6 this morning. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. There was a man, his name was John. It's a good name, by the way. I mean, if you want to name a child, I think John's a perfectly good name. And my parents weren't very creative because my dad's name is John and I'm John Jr., so, you know, they weren't real creative with that. But it wasn't John's name that made him special. It was his connection to God that made him special. So guess what, here this morning? Guess what makes you special? It's not your name. It's not the family that you come from. It's not the place you were born. It's not even your favorite college football team. Guess what makes you special this morning? It's your connection to God. Not just any God, but the God who was there in the beginning, at the beginning before anything else. That is what makes you special. You are created to you are connected to the Creator, the one who was there in the very beginning. This morning, God literally and unequivocally, without a doubt, unequivocally loves you. You are loved by the Creator, the lifelight. He is the one who made you. So this man, John, was sent from God. Which, as I read that this week, it had me thinking once again about my own motivations. When I see someone in need, when there's a situation that I have a desire to step into and to help, to bring some kind of hope, where is that motivation coming from? You see, John was sent by God. Am I trying to help other people just for myself? Am I trying to prove something, to gain something somehow? Or am I going to others because I've been sent? John was sent. He was sent out as a witness. He showed up on the scene talking all about Jesus, the coming Messiah. He literally said, the kingdom of God has come near. This was his message. His message wasn't something that he just came up with. It wasn't some great four-step plan to help someone change their life. No, he came testifying about the light. Why? So that through him all might believe. But it wasn't through John that all might believe. It was through his testimony that all might believe. It was his testimony concerning the light. John the writer shows us that God actually chose to work through a man. We know him as John or John the Baptist. His name wasn't the most important piece of his identity, though. You see, the key to his identity is that he was connected to God and he was sent by God. He was sent out to point others to the way, to the life light, so that all might believe. His identity was found through his connection to God. So can God still work through people? Can God still work through us? Is God still sending people? Isn't there some kind of verse about that? Matthew 28, right? Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, all authority has been given to me. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything. If you want to see God move, you have to be connected to him. God is still sending out his people. But if you go out without being connected to him, then you're just walking. And I have a feeling that there are a lot of people out there just walking. And I've done it. What that looked like for me was just coming to church on Sunday and then leaving the gathering of the body of Christ and living my own life. I was just out there walking. If you're going to go out in his name, you have to be connected to him. If you're going to go out in his name, then you'll receive his authority. If you go out in his name and in his authority, then you can go out as his witnesses. There are a lot of people just out there walking around. I'm wondering this morning who here might be awake. Who here has seen the light that is Christ? Who here has allowed his light to survey your whole life? Who here has humbled themselves before the Lord and received his Holy Spirit? Who here is being sent out by him, filled with his Spirit? Who is shining his light? Are we his people, known by his name? The key to our identity is not our name, it's his name. You know what he calls you when you come to, when you repent of your sin? You know what he calls you? He calls you daughter. He calls you son. It doesn't matter where you were born or who your family is. Your identity can no longer be contained within earthly categories. When God sets you free, you are set free from your past. You are free from who you were. You're free to become his. You're freed to be holy, set aside for him and his glory and his purposes. Your new identity is found only in him. So ask yourself today, is God working in and through me? Right back to the struggle that I face. I might be the only one, but I struggle with trying to help someone. And what is at the heart of that motivation? Is it somehow to accomplish something or to prove myself? If that's my desire, then that is not of God. But if God is present and working in and through me, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter It doesn't matter what happens to me. So long as I'm faithful to Him, and so long as I'm loving others in His name. That's why the Apostle Paul, who had been beaten and shipwrecked and thrown in jail, could say, I count it all blessings, I count it all joy. It doesn't matter. So is God living in and through you in that kind of way? Are you open to Him this morning? Have you set aside your preferences in order to pursue His purposes? Yes, God is sending out those who trust Him. He is sending out those who hear His voice, those who are connected to Him, those whom He has filled with His Spirit. And we need witnesses. Right, the neighborhood that you live in needs witnesses. The street you live on, the road that you live on, it needs witnesses for Him and His glory. Now, a witness isn't someone knocking on a door to score points on a heavenly scorecard. A witness is someone who testifies or gives evidence to something they've seen. A witness is one who shares their story. And if we're His followers, then we're all witnesses of the grace and the mercy and the love that He's poured out on us. The grace that we've received. We each have a story of what God has done in our life. When we tell that story, we're pointing others to the One who has changed us. Right? Because if it's a testimony of what God has done, it's not about you. You can't help but hurry through your story and all the details of your brokenness to get to the point where the light broke through the darkness. Man, that's the point that you want to share. That's where the life is. That's your story. So we need witnesses, those who will share their story of God's goodness. I had a chance to meet with someone this week, and they asked me a powerful question. I'm really kind of wrestling with it, but this person I met with this week, he asked me, does it really ever make a difference? Now, that's a broad question, but I knew at the heart of that question, I think without even knowing what he's asking is, does this following Jesus, this life of surrender, does it really ever make a difference? Right? People want to know if this is real or not. Is God for real? Is God really able to change a life, a marriage, a struggle? Is God really able to set someone free from bondage of sin and addiction? People want to know. It's almost as if God needs some people to go out and proclaim the truth, to share their story as His messengers. And so if we're going to go out in His name, I can't be focused on my own experience. I can't even be focused on my own understanding. I can share my journey. I can share my story, but I need to lean not on my own understanding, but on Him. I need to be a faithful witness to Him and Him alone. It has to be about God, not about you or about me. Can't be focused on myself. And we can't be focused on just doing and doing and doing. It can't be about just doing things in His name. It has to be about being present, being ready and available at a moment's notice to give reason for the hope that we have. My hope this morning is that you have some hope, that you have a story to share. And if you don't yet have that story, we're going to get to this. God is able to change and transform your life to give you a story this morning. John was not the light. He was there to show the way to the light. He knew who he was. He wasn't the light. He was just a messenger. The guy had a story to share, a testimony of who was coming after him. He had a powerful message. His message was one of repentance. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew. Turn there as I blow my nose, would you? Matthew 3. You know, I've never, in 4 years of this microphone, I've never quite figured out how to navigate the nasal situation, so my apologies. This is what we hear of Matthew. Matthew tells us about John in Matthew 3, beginning the very first verse. Right at the time that John was there, in those days, John the Baptist came. He came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. And Matthew draws on the powerful words of Isaiah the promise, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him." John's message was repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repent of your sins and turn to God. Heaven is near. Listen, that message is still relevant. That message has not changed. The kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And you know what happens every time he sends out his people? Everywhere that you go, you're bringing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is coming near. And so let's not forget that we carry his Holy Spirit's presence. And with his Holy Spirit's presence is power and truth. There's understanding that is greater than our understanding. So when we enter into a situation, we are bringing his kingdom near, but it's not about us. You might say, "I thought John was testifying about the light, pointing others to the light." Exactly. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. It's his very light that shines into the darkness. It's his light that reveals our brokenness and our true state, our status. Apart from him, we have no life, no eternal life. So before Jesus would appear on the scene, there was a message of preparation. Make way. Advent, the season we're in right now, is about preparation. There are things that need to be done. There is a posture that we need to have before the Lord. John was given this message, but he was also living a pure life. Right? If you were to read some more of the details of John the Baptist, you would see that he was a bit of a strange man. But from his very conception, the moment he was conceived in the womb, God had a plan and a purpose for him. And John was one who lived a pure and faithful life. Perhaps this morning, God is looking for those who would live a pure and holy life, those whom he could put his spirit within, those whom he could send out to be a faithful witness. It was his purity that helped him receive and carry the message. So you want God to appear? You want God to lead you? You want God to move in your life? John the Baptist would say, then repent. Now is the time. And if you've already repented and you've been made right with God, then the call is to continue to pursue a life of holiness and faithfulness to him, to continue to lock your eyes on him and to worship him alone and to serve him alone. God is on the move, friends. God is on the move here in Marshalltown. The world, this community, the evil and the darkness in our very own community can't stop him. Right? Right? He has overcome the darkness. Right, as John is writing this, he wants us to know right up front, he has overcome the darkness. It can never extinguish the light that is Christ. So God is on the move. Listen, God is on the move even when people don't see him. Right, as his people, we believe in prevenient grace. So maybe that should be in the forefront of my mind. When I have an opportunity to step into someone's life and help them, maybe I need to understand that it's not just my desire, that maybe God wants that person to be set free. Maybe that God wants that person to see the light, and that His Holy Spirit's presence is already at work in that situation. It's not about me. He is already at work. His kingdom is on the move. So are you helping to prepare the way? Are you pointing others to Him? Honestly, it's a question that we should all ask ourselves. Are we pointing others to Him? Yes, sometimes it's with our words. But when someone looks at our life, do they see us or do they see God in us? Are we pointing others to Him? I think really there's only one thing that can stop God in your life. And it's you. There is only one thing that can stop God from moving in your life, and it's you. It's you. So the life that you're living right now, the life you're living right now is what you truly believe. Is that too harsh? The life that you're living right now is what you really believe. Right? God does not force Himself into your life. Instead, He invites you to follow Him. It's in your hands. You've been given free will. He doesn't force His love upon you. So will you step out in faith? Will you follow Him? Will you be a witness to the life light that is Jesus? Will you share the story of how God has changed you and is still working in you? Is God still working in you? Listen, there are some amazing testimonies in this room of God's faithfulness, amazing stories of how He has used others in your life. God has used others to point you to Him. God has used other witnesses to help you in your life. And I love those stories. I love those testimonies. I praise God for that. But what is He doing these days? What is God doing in your life right now, today? If you don't see how God is shaping you and forming you and calling you deeper, then perhaps we need to heed the words of John the Baptist and repent. Repent and allow God to once again have all of you. Repent and commit to loving others in His name. Repent and commit to following only Him. John had one message, one focus. He knew what he was supposed to do. His message was that God is coming. His kingdom is near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. And when God's kingdom comes near, and when God gets near to someone and the Holy Spirit begins to whisper and speak into someone's life, our response is to repent. Because in that moment of seeing the light, we recognize how finite we are and how infinite He is. He is from the beginning. So repentance sometimes gets a bad rap, but repentance is the open door into eternal life. So who do you know that needs to hear this message? It's an important message. It's one that has not changed and will not change. Right? No matter what the world might tell us, there is still sin in this world. And sin will separate you for all eternity. So who is it that needs to hear this message, that God has come near? He has sent His Son, Jesus. Now is the time to repent of your sins. I feel fortunate this morning that unlike John the Baptist, we've been given his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit helps us, guides us, opens the door. If only I would shut my mind down and just trust the Holy Spirit. So although God was present in the beginning, and although he is present now, he also chose to send his son. God was intentional. He sent his son Jesus to be born, to live, to die on the cross. And I believe that God is also very intentional. He sent his Holy Spirit to fill and empower his church, so that we can gather together once or twice a week and rejoice in his name and then leave this place and forget about him. No, he has sent his Holy Spirit and filled his church and empowered his church to be living witnesses for his glory. So where is God sending you? Man, let's live this week with anticipation. Let's wake up and just even ask God, God, what do you want me to do for you today? Lord, I know I'm going to work. Is there someone at work that you need me to come alongside to love on? So how can you be present this week? How can you be a witness for him? What situation in your home or at school or at work needs God's light to shine? Because he has entrusted you, his sons and daughters, he's entrusted you, his church, with the message. And he's empowered you and he is sending you out to be witnesses, light that would shine in a broken world. So let's partner with him. Let's trust him. I'd love for us to close in prayer. And as we close in prayer this morning, this is that moment where we can just be honest with one another. We can be honest before the Lord. Maybe you are like me. Maybe you've struggled with figuring out how you can help someone. Maybe in that you have to be like me and I have to repent of that. Man, that self-righteousness. As much as I want to help someone, he is the one that can help them. So if I truly want to help someone, if I truly want to see God move in a situation, then I need to call on his name. His name. His name. So let's just close in prayer. If you want to come forward, you come forward. But let's close in prayer and ask him once again to fill us and empower us. And then for him to send us out. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that we have a beginning. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, there is a beginning. In the beginning, you, Lord. In the beginning, you. And Lord, if you're the beginning, then you are the answer right now in the middle of it. You, Lord. And as I come alongside others, Lord, you are the answer. In you, we find everything that we need. And in this amazing move, Lord, you have chosen to pour out your Spirit on us, filling us and empowering us, your church, so that we can be like Jesus, those who are sent into the broken and hurting places. Oh, but Lord, as we go, we don't go as ourselves. We go as witnesses. We go as those who know the truth, those who have seen the light. So Father, forgive us of those times when we've just tried to struggle our way through. Forgive us of those times when we've tried to come up with a plan to help someone, but separated ourselves from you. Help us this morning as this church family. Help us to partner with your Holy Spirit. Lord, allow us to see that you're already at work. You're already moving, and you just need a church, a people who will listen to your voice. So open our ears, Lord. Open our ears to hear you, Lord. Lord, give us a desire for your word. Give us a desire for the living word, Jesus Christ. Give us a new passion and fire for intimacy with you, Lord. It's hard to show others who you are if we're not experiencing you right now, Lord. So, Father, if we need to repent of anything in our life, Lord, we call on your name. We ask for your forgiveness. We repent of our sins, Lord. Give us the strength to turn away from those things in our lives and to follow after you. Father, I'm so excited about this week. Father, help each one of us to wake up with just joyful anticipation. Give us eyes this week to see that the situations are not what we can just see with our earthly eyes. But remind us that the battle belongs to you. Remind us that you're already present, you're active. Remind us that you are mighty to save. And Father, I pray that you'd be pleased and honored with us this week as we seek to honor you. So bless these, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Bless them. Encourage them, Father. Strengthen them. And send us out, Lord, together to be a lighthouse who shines the truth of who you are, your light, into every life, every situation, proclaiming the truth that you have overcome the darkness. It's for your glory, your honor, that we pray together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I say it every week, but may you go in peace this morning. You are loved.